Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Columbus Day on this Monday, 10th day of October 2022. Before I introduce my extremely important guest, I just want to remind you, I hope that you all join me this Saturday, October 15th at 7 p.m. for a fundraising gala at the Marriott in Melville, Long Island, New York, where I am going to be the MC along with keynote speaker Pete Hegseth of Fox News to benefit Grace Christian Academy of Long Island in Merrick, New York. If you would like to register for free, go to gcali.com, gcali.com. I hope as many of you listening who are able to get to Long Island, New York this Saturday will join me there. That's Saturday, October 15th, 7 p.m. at the Marriott in Melville, Long Island, featuring me as the Master of Ceremonies and keynote speaker Pete Hegseth of Fox News. Well, today we have an extremely important guest. And what adds to the enormous importance of me interviewing this guest today is because of the darkness of our world today, the rampant evil that seems to be getting more and more grotesque as every day passes, and it seems to accelerate in plunging to the depths of evil that we are frighteningly heading toward in breathtaking speed. I have today as my guest Doug Mastriano, who is Republican candidate for governor in the state of Pennsylvania. This is an extremely important gubernatorial race, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Doug Mastriano.
Thank you, Chris. And we are at a crossroads in Pennsylvania and in America, and most people are starting to sense it as well. We see it between tyranny and freedom.
Amen.
The reason why I believe Pennsylvania is the most important race, the governor race is the most important race in the nation, is for several reasons. You know, first off, we are the Keystone State. Our nation was birthed in Pennsylvania. Additionally, though, on top of the historic context here, there's also the energy potential that we have. As you know, as Americans, as Pennsylvanians, God has blessed us with so much natural resources here. We could really turn the corner on this recession here by having an economic boom in Pennsylvania.
Yes, absolutely. And first, can you give us any updates on the closeness of your gubernatorial race against the leftist Josh Shapiro here in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, and the, you know, obviously there's many polls out there, and you have to go with the A-rating polls. And the A-rated polls, of course, is Trafalgar. And Trafalgar, they have us neck and neck with Shapiro, and that's after Shapiro spent $26 million in ads against me here. So it's a tight race by conventional measurements. You know, our own internal numbers are looking good, but, you know, none of this matters if the people don't show up on 8 November. And so, you know, God has blessed our state and our nation with the people having the opportunity to select their leaders. And so the thing that really matters is people get out and they get out and vote big on 8 November.
Amen. And as you probably know yourself, many average citizens lack an understanding of the specific roles, duties, and spheres of authority that the various offices within government possess. So let me ask you some questions over the most pressing issues that burden the hearts and minds of Pennsylvania Christians, and how you, if you become this state's governor, God willing, intend to make changes for the improvement of our safety, prosperity, and further preserve liberties and benefits that our citizens already enjoy. Christians, rightfully so, will immediately wonder how the lives of innocent children in their mother's wombs will be kept safe from the brutal death that may await them due to the whims of biological parents who do not want to inconvenience their lives with the added responsibilities of raising a child, and due to the murderous physicians who are more than happy to get paid to remove those responsibilities by killing those unwanted babies in unspeakably grotesque ways. What are the most vital expectations Christians should realistically have in the realm of existence of or removal of abortion infanticide in our state?
Well, so I'd ask people to go to Google the Dobbs case and read simply the first page of the 65-page decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. And, of course, we've had this pressing on us from Roe v. Wade since 1973. And in 1973, the federal Supreme Court decided they'd make it a federal issue when really it's a state's rights issue. And on that first page, third paragraph, it says the issue of life and abortion is now in the hands of the people and the people's representatives. And so this is important that people understand the constitutional separation of powers. Of course, my opponent, Josh Shapiro, and the media never asked him his stance on abortion. You know, he pretends he's a defender of women's rights, but actually he wants to have abortion up till birth. I mean, he's a radical leftist, supported and paid for by Planned Parenthood, and he's on a complete opposite spectrum of 90-some percent of Americans at that. But as far as what happens with life in Pennsylvania, it's up to the people. The people get to decide, and this is a fact. Just check out the Constitution and the Supreme Court decision. The people get to decide on, you know, what abortion looks like in Pennsylvania. If you want life protected, obviously Mastriano is your only choice between the two of us here. Josh Shapiro, once again, stands radically for the extreme alternatives in abortion that only countries like China and North Korea approve of.
Yeah, it may surprise some of our listeners, as it did surprise me, who wonder, hey, wait a minute, why doesn't abortion become a federal crime? It is interesting to discover that murder is a state's issue when it comes to the legal process. So since we obviously who are regenerate Christians view abortion as murder, this would go under that category of being a state's issue. Going on now, first of all, before I go to the energy industry, I just wanted to put my own two cents in here. As much as I do love Sean Hannity and listen to him and view him regularly and agree with most of what he says, I believe all abortion is murder and therefore should be outlawed for all reasons. Sean Hannity and others make exceptions for rape, incest, and the life of the mother. And I believe that if abortion is murder, there should be no reason why one should be legally permitted to conduct this horrific procedure, quote, quote, which is the killing of a baby. The energy industry is one of the most vital areas that provides employment and maintains wealth here in Pennsylvania. And the leftists want the heart of this state's source of prosperity to be ripped out from us. As governor, can you put a stop to this? And if so, how?
So Pennsylvania is blessed by God with some of the greatest natural resources in the world. I mean, you know, some people call us, we have the potential of being the Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia's famous for its oil reserves. We could be the Saudi Arabia of natural gas in the world. And that's true. And so the gas God has blessed us with, you know, natural gas, freedom gas, we'll call it, the coal, and even the very high-grade oil here, it has the potential for Pennsylvanians to bring billions of dollars of wealth to our state. Now, and it's not going to happen under Wolf, and it hasn't, and it's not going to happen under Shapiro because he's beholden to radical leftists. So let me break down my plan. And so I have something called the Pennsylvania Energy Independence Act, TEDA. It's actually a Senate bill, and I'll implement this, of course, as governor with the consent and advisement of the House and Senate. And on day one, when I'm governor, when I'm sworn in, 17 January of next year, on day one, I will remove us from the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative called REGI. REGI is basically a carbon tax. And if you wondered why your energy costs went up almost by double on the 1st of June, it's because Governor Tom Wolf signed us up for REGI. Now, REGI's hung up in court right now, but did not stop your costs from going up. And so on day one, we're out of REGI. Within a few weeks in the cold winter we're going to have, hopefully you'll see the prices drop pretty significantly, so you won't have to choose between heating your homes or heating. Part two of my plan, of course, is roll back about 8 years of Tom Wolf's regulations on our energy sector. He's put so many restrictions on our energy sector that some of these have been fleeing now, leaving for Ohio and Texas and West Virginia, where they're, more energy favorable, less restrictive, less regulated. I will be opening up state lands. My goal is that we'll drill and dig like we never done before. We'll do it responsibly, of course, but we're gonna do that here to bring billions of dollars into Pennsylvania. And my long-range plan, of course, is to make Pennsylvania number one in energy production nationwide. To facilitate that, I have my eyes on two pipelines that will get the energy, especially the freedom gas, to the ports of Philadelphia and also one off of Erie. My goal is two modernized liquefied natural gas terminals, especially one off of Philly. And so then we become a multi-billion dollar exporter of gas, natural gas, to Germany and Poland and the Baltic nations as well. Right now, the Germans are stuck on Russian oil and gas. The Germans are paying about $2 billion a month to buy oil and gas off of Vladimir Putin. That money should be coming to an ally like America and into Pennsylvania. So what? Whether you live in an energy area of the state or not is irrelevant. What that's going to do, my Pennsylvania Energy Independence Act here, is bring billions of dollars, many high-paying jobs, and supporting jobs, of course, will come in. We're looking at maybe 300,000 more jobs. Bringing stability to our economy and making the world safer for us, because if we're not relying upon Russian oil and gas, I'm talking about we and our allies, or we're not out there begging for the Saudis to increase oil production, and Biden is doing that, and going hat in hand over to the Venezuelans as well, we could do this ourselves.
Yeah, this is, it's just palpably insane how leftists are maintaining any level of popularity here in Pennsylvania when the very heart of our existence financially lies within the energy industry. It's just, to me, it's absolutely mind-boggling. And another thing, one of the very key reasons that government even exists in our lives is to protect our citizens from harm by evildoers. However, leftists are in a rapidly increasing degree doing all they can to protect the evildoers and make the law-abiding even more vulnerable to physical harm and death and more likely to be the victims of violent crimes. As governor, what can you do to reverse this?
It's interesting. My opponent is Josh Shapiro, and he's been the attorney general of the state of Pennsylvania, our commonwealth, for 6 years. And as the attorney general, he is the senior law enforcement official of the state. So that means he's responsible for crime and law and order. And on his watch, and John Adams, our second president, said facts are stubborn things. On Josh Shapiro's watch, he's failed us. Crime has almost doubled. It's nearly 40% higher since when he came in office in 2016. On his watch, for example, facts are stubborn things, Philadelphia. Josh Shapiro's first year in office, 277 homicides. Last year, 562, we're on the path for 600 homicides in Philadelphia this year alone. It's so high that the grave diggers are having trouble keeping up, burying mostly teenagers that have caught in the crossfire, and some kids have just made a stupid choice. On his watch, we're the fourth highest in fentanyl deaths. On his watch, we have the only open-air drug market where people are shooting up in public spaces down in Philadelphia, Kensington. My wife and I were there just a few days ago without cameras. I don't do stunts. I wanted to see myself. It's horror. We have 12 to 15 people a day dying in Pennsylvania from overdose deaths. This is one of the fourth highest in the nation. Sex trafficking is happening in our cities and towns. Josh Shapiro doesn't care. And instead of doing his job, Josh Shapiro has spent his time fighting tooth and nail to get boys in the girls' bathroom. And he did it in Pennsylvania, and he fought also against the parents of Florida and Virginia. This time last year, thanks to Josh Shapiro, in part with his amicus against the parents of Virginia, a girl in Loudoun County, Virginia, was raped, 15-year-old girl. The school board tried to cover it up. The dad was upset this time last year in front of the school board publicly, and they hauled him out in handcuffs. That's life under Josh Shapiro. Instead of doing his job, he sued every parent and every kid in the state to keep your kids masked up. So remember the suffering of your kids and grandkids with these ridiculous science-denying mask edicts. Josh Shapiro was behind that, supporting his close and dear friend Levine and Wolf, fighting against the families of the state here. Josh Shapiro filed a dismissal motion against a Chester County mom who was suing the state to get these pornographic, terrible books out of elementary school libraries. They're so disgusting that Twitter put the advisory warning on there, but there's no warning for the kids in the school. Josh Shapiro wants that case thrown out here. Josh Shapiro does not believe the parents should have a right to their kids' education. Instead of doing his job, he's sued to keep your business shut down. And then finally, on top of all this, while we're going through all this pain and suffering, Josh Shapiro is fighting against the people of Pennsylvania and restricting our freedoms. He went on to sue the Little Sisters of the Poor, you know, a holy order from the Roman Catholic Church here dedicated to helping the most needy of society. He sued them all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court over a religious issue.
Absolutely amazing. Since you mentioned the bathroom issue, when it comes to the old saying, if you give an inch, they will take a mile, Christians have never seen this adage more vividly proven to be true than in the satanic levels of the evil so-called LGBTQ wing of leftism has inflicted upon innocent children. It has gone far beyond drag queens reading storybooks to prepubescent kids in libraries. Depraved parents are legally using their precious, confused children as laboratory rats and are irreversibly having dangerously demonic men and women in white coats sexually mutilate them pharmaceutically and surgically. How can you, as governor, eradicate this hellish behavior from our state?
Well, I mean, the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia is caught on tape talking about how they are doing gender transitions, quote-unquote, for teenagers. You know, young people who are going to be suffering from vasectomies and other surgeries that are irreversible in a time of life where if they're abused, obviously, that they're struggling through hard issues. There was even an admission that some of those being targeted are those living on the street or in the foster care system. I mean, this is child abuse. And so on day one, executive order is going to be signed, you know, ending gender reassignment surgeries for those, you know, under 18. I mean, if you're an adult and of sound mind and you want to do something, that's up to you. But, you know, it should not be kids who are caught in the midst of abuse. We've seen many, many testimonies of people here that have regretted decisions, and they don't feel like they had all the information given to them. On day one, we're going to I stand with all the girls and going to our schools across the state here. I stand for their safety and protection. And I can't imagine, you know, being a girl in school and, you know, deciding whether you're going to use the bathroom or not if you have enough friends with you to protect you because there might be somebody hiding in there, like in Loudoun County, Virginia. That's a fact. That we've allowed this to go so far here where the parents, most parents in the school, you know, parents want to have their kids safe. So on day one, there'll be no more boys in the girls' bathroom. On day one, I stand with female athletes. Let me break this down here. So Tom Wolf and Josh Shapiro think it's a great idea to have all the science, biological males, participating on the girls' team, and not just participating, but stealing away scholarships and opportunities. Women have only had the right to vote for 102 years in America, and female athletics have only recently achieved a similar opportunities and scholarships and awards and opportunities in the past few years, thanks to 50 years of sacrifice under Title IX. Title IX had its anniversary this past June. And Josh Shapiro wants to roll back the clock 50 years on women's achievements in athletics by having biological men be on the girls' team. Let's think about this for a second. You have athletes in your family. You know the sacrifice that goes with that. And now you bring on biological males. There are male high school runners faster than the fastest female athlete in the world. I mean, there's significant strength and biological skeletal issues and advantages guys have. We saw Thomas, of course, in the university here in Pennsylvania jump on the girls' team. ranked almost 500, 467, I think, on the men's team, decided to go on the girls' team, is now setting records and stealing scholarships and opportunities away from female athletes, lady swimmers, and with all the advantages that a guy has with bigger hands, stronger muscles, bigger lungs, bigger feet. This all matters in swimming competition. We saw when it kicked off in that one race, and, you know, Thomas had like a 3 foot, you know, 3 foot longer a jump just with the leg strength alone. And so on day one, I stand with female athletes, and there'll be no more boys on the girls' team. I mean, you know, it's one thing if it's a co-ed team here, but this is apples and oranges. And my opponent, Josh Shapiro, rejoiced and cheered when Governor Wolf vetoed our bill. It is so bad in Pennsylvania that I was giving remarks in defense of this bill on the floor of the Senate in Harrisburg back in June. I'm standing there saying we need to end male domination of female sports. We need to end this patriarchal, you know, reign over women athletes. And I actually stopped it, and you can watch my remarks on the Senate page. And I'm like, man, you sound like a radical feminist. And I looked over to the Democrats, and I made an appeal to them. I said, where are the feminists? And they were not there. They almost unanimously voted against this bill, particularly with women athletes here. So Josh Shapiro wants to pretend to be the champion of women's rights, what have you. He's the furthest from any champion of female rights that you can imagine.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing about issues like this. Even decades ago, where you would very rarely see feminists and conservative evangelical Christians become allies on anything, but even decades ago, the pornography issue started to rise up some interesting allies with feminists and conservatives. And today, this is even more of a stunning issue that has brought together unlikely bedfellows, as they say, where we have feminists and conservative evangelicals linking arms to fight the atrocity not only of men, biological men, competing against women in sports, but even the aforementioned bathroom issue. And other issues where women are rightly looking at what the left is doing and seeing it as a very threat to womanhood. Am I right?
Yeah, it is true. I mean, we're seeing this uneasy but rightful alliance now between ladies that have been fighting for, you know, women's rights here for the greater part of their lives and now coming over to the Republican Party. And the breaks are pretty defined. If you think about this here, we're seeing now the Latino population, you know, breaking for Republicans almost 60%. We're seeing a huge breakthrough with the Latino population in Philadelphia for me, as well as Lancaster and elsewhere. And, you know, we saw Congresswoman Flores win that one seat in Texas on the border of Mexico. She was born in Mexico. She immigrated legally to America. America dream. She is the face of what America stands for. She wins a seat that a Republican hadn't held in like 150 years in history. And she came in, and her motto, of course, is Dios, Patria, Familia, you know, God, country, and family. Those are the same ideals that most conservative Republicans uphold in esteem. You know, we honor our God, we respect our country, and we love and protect our family. And the Democrats have gone too far. And we saw this drunk with power approach, of course, emerge, you know, in earnest in 2020 with the shutdown, especially in Pennsylvania, and how they thought they could suspend and roll back our God-given rights. These aren't just constitutional rights. These are rights given to us by God. And they just can't stop. They are constantly, when the science didn't match up to justify the shutdown, they prolonged the shutdown, and it had Josh Shapiro in their pocket to sue. We're seeing this, you know, and how far they've gone in so many schools where, you know, people are being shamed because of their skin color, you know, often referred to as critical race theory, whatever you want to call it. You know, teaching kids to hate each other based off of something they have nothing to do with genetically there is repugnant to me, and it's so anti-American. So on day one, we're going to reaffirm parental rights. This is how far we've gone, Chris. So on day one, I'm going to reaffirm parental rights. We're going to fight like heck with the General Assembly to, of course, get school choice. The irony is people like Josh Shapiro are good with school choice from themselves, just like Obama, that they can afford to send their kids to the most elite, esteemed, costly schools in the nation. You know, Shapiro, you know, he can afford it. He's a wealthy man. He has his daddy's wealth. Wants for nothing, and he sends his four kids to a school that costs between $30,000 and $40,000 a pop per kid. What about the parents in Philadelphia? You know, parents in Philadelphia, 88% of them are for school choice. I don't believe his doublespeak. He's in the pocket of the school union. So if you believe in school choice, the only choice is Mastriano. If you want to, parents, if you want to have say in your kids' education, your only choice is Mastriano. If you want to have transparency with curriculum, so I'll be ordering our secretary, my secretary of education, to direct the school to post all the curriculum online for parents to review. Because obviously one of the few benefits of the COVID shutdown was zooming in for classes, and many parents were appalled to see what their kids were being taught.
Now, when I see the lawns of my neighbors littered with the signs promoting the candidacies of your leftist opponent and all the other enemies of the core principles that gave birth to our nation, I am utterly baffled, and I find it extremely difficult to believe these neighbors genuinely believe themselves their lives are improving in any way under the rapidly increasing weight of the leftist tyrannical regime. And I know you're not a mind reader, but what could possibly be the motivation for the suicidal insanity that keeps electing our nation's worst enemies into political office, and how races like yours against Josh Shapiro could even be remotely close?
Yeah, it is a bit interesting to me, you know, and I just speculate, you know, I have some one-offs here and there. You know, some of these folks here that are so dedicated to this cause, you know, they have a steady income, they have no, they're wanting for nothing. And it was about a third of the population during the shutdown that they were out there not only ardently fighting in support of Governor Wolf's supreme powers of shutting down all the businesses willy-nilly that he thought were not essential, but then being complicit in oppressing their neighbors, you know, where to wear a mask and calling in businesses that decided they're going to let their customers choose whether to wear a mask or not. And that you're always going to have that 30% of the population that just blindly loyal to the Democrat Party. So we are seeing a huge break, you know, elsewhere. The so-called, you know, Rust Belt Democrats, you know, the working class Democrats, the Democrat Party left them behind. I mean, they're realizing this is no longer the Democrat Party of their parents and grandparents. You know, as you can imagine, many of my Italian ancestors in America were Democrats. So this is not the same party, you know, that they were part of that actually tried to fight for the little man. Now it's actually the Republican Party. The roles have switched here, and the Democrats are the party, clearly, of the great, you know, giant, powerful people and, you know, pharmaceuticals and of course, you know, the high-tech offices and what have you. And this is demonstrable by simple voter registrations in our state. Before COVID, the Democrats had a 2 million registration advantage in Pennsylvania, really not a purple state back then. But since Tom Wolf and since Josh Shapiro's reckless policies on letting criminals out, almost 10,000 since he's been in office, by the way, they've lost two-thirds of that number. They're down from a 2 million advantage before COVID to about 400,000 right now in Democrats. And many of these are switching every month to either independent or Republican because they can see that the Democrat Party is drunk with power. If you want to raise your kids with the same freedoms that you and I had, the only choice on this is Mastriano. You know, the Senate race cannot affect your life in Pennsylvania. The governor race is everything in Pennsylvania. We have to win it.
You know, you may be surprised to hear me say this, but I'm actually going to raise my glass in toast of the geniuses in the ad agencies who work for the leftist Democrats running commercials during this gubernatorial race, because the commercials they have created against you are brilliant commercials in promotion of you. When I watch most of these commercials, I'm beginning in the very beginning and perhaps even most of the way through, I am thinking that your candidacy has supported these ads. And I find out it's actually an ad for Josh Shapiro. They're listing all of the reasons why every citizen of Pennsylvania should vote for you. I don't know if you've viewed it the same way I do, but it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, Napoleon said, never interrupt your enemy when he's making a mistake. And so, back when I first started seeing these ads, back in May, when it was, you know, Shapiro, he, you know, hats off to the Democrats. they see, unlike the major Republican organizations in the state, they see that Pennsylvania is everything. And they've poured in $30-some million, mostly dark money from dubious sources, into Shapiro's campaign. You know, for us, it's mostly the people. It's the people from across the nation that are rising up. It's small dollar donations. They go to DougForGov.com and they're helping Southrop to run our ads. But they've gone too far. When these ads started running in May, I thought they were too hard, too heavy, too extreme, too over the top, too much, and that in the end it would backfire. And that's exactly what's happening. You know, we're told that, you know, that this is like the days where you could buy elections, but you can't. People have been, every person that I know of has been affected in some way adversely from Democrat policies, whether it's from the COVID shutdown or whether it's from failed economic policies now that it's, you have to choose between heating and eating. You don't have enough money to put, you know, gas in your car here. You're trying to make ends meet. You're deciding between food and medicine. These are real, you know, tabletop issues at the kitchen table that are talked about at nighttime. And the Democrats are out there, you know, fighting for these peripheral things that really don't affect people directly unless their lives are comfortable. And so that's why we're going to see a big victory here in Pennsylvania.
You know, I keep getting asked before we go, because I know that you have to leave us early, but people keep asking me if I think we can expect an honest victory in this election, no matter who wins. And I know that to dare question the integrity of the elections that took place where the left was voted into power, to dare question that they were actually voted into power, is high treason these days. It's only high treason when the Democrats have benefited from these elections that many view to have been stolen or rigged. But can are the conservative citizens of Pennsylvania rest with a greater measure of peace of mind this election, that there will be no fraudulent, or should I say, no considerable element of fraudulent rigging and so on during the voting process?
Well, you know, obviously there's a lot of issues still. And in the General Assembly, any of the really good legislation, most of it was vetoed by Wolf. We did manage to get a few things to tighten up our election security. For instance, outside money called Zuckbucks, that we successfully ended that. We had a veto-proof majority in the Senate. We had about five Democrats break to support that. So Governor Wolf did not veto that. This is not as insecure as 2020. There's still many issues. So the way ahead, if you really are concerned about this, you know, oh, Doug, I don't know, my vote's going to count. Well, do something about it. And so go to DougForGov.com and sign up to be a poll watcher. And we will train you to be what to look for if there's any laws violated. We'll train you on who to contact to have the issues resolved, including a team of attorneys we'll have handy. Glenn Youngkin showed us the way ahead in Virginia. They had the same, well, similar concerns, not quite the same, similar concerns in Virginia last year, and yet he won. And he won is because instead of the Republicans just, you know, wringing their hands and shaking their fists at the TV, they volunteered to be poll workers, and he had 95% of the polls covered. And I need 20,000 people to step up. I want two at every poll in Pennsylvania. And that's the way we ensure safe and secure elections with transparency.
Well, he said it, folks. The website is Doug4Gov, G-O-V.com. Doug4Gov.com. And I want to thank you so much for squeezing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio into your very busy schedule. And I look forward to your return after your victory so that we can both celebrate together, you being the new governor of Pennsylvania.
Thank you for having me on. And let's all do our part. Thank you, brother.
Amen. Well, God bless you, Doug, and we'll talk to you soon. And don't go away, folks. For the remaining 90 minutes of the show, we are going to be joined by my dear friend, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. And he is going to be addressing the theme, if God is in control, why vote? So don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Pete Hegseth, co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend. Now, I don't have to tell you, but American education, it's in a free fall, crumbling under the weight of a century of damage inflicted upon America's academic system. The answer? It's called classical Christian education, a form of K-12 ed that's very distinct from the type of education most Americans have received, myself included. And that's why I'm so excited to have been invited by my friends at Long Island's Grace Christian Academy to talk about this wonderful growing movement and new approach rediscovered to education. It's at 7 p.m. October 15th at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Melville, New York. I'll also be signing copies of my New York Times best-selling book, Battle for the American Mind, for the first 50 guests starting at 6 p.m. Now, this is a fundraising event designed to raise money to help grow this type of education at a time when it is so desperately needed. So please come ready to give and to learn about a way to stimulate academic revival in our great country. You can purchase tickets for the event by visiting gcali.com and following the link to the gala event. I hope to see you there.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, our guest for the first half hour was Doug Mastriano, who is the Republican candidate for governor in the state of Pennsylvania. Our second guest is my dear friend, Dr. Joe Moorcraft, author and pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia. We're going to be addressing for the remainder of the program, if God's in control, why should we vote? How even Arminians can behave like hyper-Calvinists during elections. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, my dear friend, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
It's always a joy to be on your program, Chris.
It's always a joy to have you on the program, brother, and I am not alone in that opinion. I seem to have a growing number of listeners who are a part of the Joe Moorcraft fan club, who, from a wide spectrum of theological positions, actually, are saying, man, we really love that Joe Moorcraft. We look forward to having him, you having him back on the program, and we're always edified every time we hear him. So that always encourages me. Not only that I'm selecting my guests wisely, but it encourages me that so many people are viewing you, a growing number of people are viewing you as a true voice for truth, and I thank God for that.
Well, it encourages me too, brother.
And I congratulate you on, with your lovely wife, Becky, moving into your new home. Is it still technically Cumming, Georgia, or is it a different area?
It's a little town called Oakwood, Georgia, which is between Gainesville and Cumming. That's about the same distance away from our church that my other house was in another city. But the other house, which we loved, had four stories, and I'm crippled. So we were looking for a house that had everything on one story, and this house that we live in now that we bought has no steps in it whatever.
Well, praise God for that. Tell our listeners, for those of them who have not yet heard you on the program, tell them about Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia.
Heritage Presbyterian Church is a small church of about 60 members in Cumming, Georgia, which is about 40 miles north of Atlanta. And we are members of the Reformed Presbyterian Church, Hanover Presbytery. Our doctrinal position is that of the original Westminster Confession of Faith and Catechisms, and we are committed to those as biblical Christianity in its purest human expression. Our church is also committed to the Great Commission, to spreading the good news of the gospel, discipling the nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all that God has commanded us. And one of the ways we've done that in the past couple of months, we have twice in the past 2 or 3 months sent a team of 5 men south of the border to migrants. We are a small church, but we paid all their expenses for a week. And they went from one tent city to another, preaching the gospel, witnessing, giving out bottles of water, blankets, toiletries, and the like. And they just got back this weekend from Tijuana, Mexico, which is one of the most dangerous cities there on the border. And they spent a week there and had great opportunities to preach. People, they would stand on the corner and preach, and people would stand on their roofs so that they could hear them, or people who were hiding or sleeping or trying to keep warm in their basements would crawl out of the basements to hear the preaching of the Word of God.
Now, was Paul Abbott among those who you sent out with this evangelism effort, who I've had on the program?
Paul Abbott, a dear friend of mine, leads the pack.
Great. Well, I've got to get Brother Paul back on the program. I was very encouraged and edified by him.
He would be good. He just got back. He's on fire. So he just got back from his second trip to Mexico.
Praise God. Well, you are an author. In fact, you have written on the very subject of Christians and politics. And can you tell our listeners about that book, which I know has been brought back into print? Give us the full title and why they should get a hold of that book.
It's a book I wrote back in the 80s that's been reprinted time after time after time. And it's called With Liberty and Justice for All, Christian Politics Made Simple. It's a 200-page paperback. It's not academic. It's basically mostly an exposition of Romans 13 plus some chapters on abortion and things like that, and it's written for the common person. So a lot of people have been blessed by it to have a renewed and Christian understanding of politics. So they know how to vote, what the political issues are, how a Christian should look at the political issues and the political candidate. And it is available through comprehensivechristianity.com. You can either get it as an ebook or you can get it as a paperback. Comprehensivechristianity.com.
Great. Now, the theme, as I've already mentioned, is if God is in control, why should we vote? How even Arminians can behave like hyper-Calvinists during elections. And this is an interesting time we're living in. It could be very discouraging for the most optimistic post-millennialist even. because unlike what many people think about post-millennialists or post-millennialism, according to their caricature, what many people believe and what many people have even said in public, even trained ministers who should know better, have said that post-millennialism is the idea that things will just in a never-bending upward arrow keep getting better and better and better and better. But you don't believe that at all, do you? You think that there's a possibility we could even enter into a period of darkness for over 1,000 years that is worse than mankind has ever seen. Don't you believe that? Is that a possibility?
Historical postmillennialism, and I don't like the name, I hate labels, simply believes in the victory orientation of the kingdom of God in history and space and time. They believe that over the centuries, through the faithful preaching of the gospel and the conversion of nations, that more and more people and nations are going to be converted until Christianity and its adherents are greater than the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. And Christianity permeates and affects every aspect of life on this globe. There are going to be times, not that there are setbacks, but there are going to be times in which it looks like setbacks because God is disciplining his church and God is getting the church ready for more important battles in the future. I think we are on the cusp of another dark time in this country because of the apostasy of the church throughout the 20th century that we need to be brought back in line. And the things that you're seeing now on television and the newspaper, and I think even more so in a few years to come, are going to be used by God to chasten us, to purify us, so that God will bring spiritual renewal and reformation.
Yes, and this these dark times that we live in, and I do say that with a reminder to our listeners that we who are here in the comfort of the United States, as bad as things are here, there are places in the globe today that are infinitely worse when it comes to the persecution of the church. And in the past, obviously in the first century and the early centuries of the church, when Nero was reigning and using Christians as human torches and having them fed to lions and other wild animals. We can praise God that we are not right now experiencing anything like that. But at the same time, these are dark days. These are days when Christians' rights being stripped from them, being ignored, and the leftist totalitarians keep getting politically stronger. They keep brainwashing more of the citizens that surround us. And we have even reached the point where little children are being taken by their parents to satanic physicians who are sexually mutilating them with pharmaceutical, with surgery. And sometimes I've even heard Christians, I've even heard friends of mine saying that they don't know if they're even going to bother voting. The votes keep getting rigged and the elections keep getting stolen. And I don't like the Republicans and I don't like the Democrats. They're even worse. And I'm tired of this. God's in control. He'll sort this all out. I'm just tired of it. Don't want to waste my time going to the voting booth. Now, how is that a wrong way to behave as a Christian?
That is a perversion of revealed truth. People often today, I found throughout the 20th century and 21st century, often hide their cowardice and their laziness behind the doctrine of predestination. They say, God's in control, why do anything? Why pray? Why vote? God's in control. So we'll just sit here and twiddle our thumbs and wait for God to carry out his purposes. That's a perversion of things. I would ask them, if God's not in control, why vote? If God's not in control, why pray? If God's not in control, why do anything? So Christians have to take the sovereignty of God seriously and realize that the greatest, one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived was the man from whom we get our doctrine of predestination. And that is the Apostle Paul, who was run out of every city he went into, was beaten up, was mocked, laughed at, went all over the world preaching the gospel, brought all kinds of people to faith in Jesus Christ because he believed that God predestined that he was going to have a people on this earth. And the powers of hell would not even overwhelm them.
Amen.
Paul was the great, one of the great missionaries and one of the greatest preachers and teachers of the doctrine of predestination. The same as the Lord Jesus Christ, who preached predestination. Read the book of John. See how often he brought up the situation. And he was so committed to predestination that he gave his life on the cross to guarantee the salvation of all those that God chose to be saved. So we have a lot of theological perverts around here. If you ask the question, if God is sovereign, why vote? We need to understand that God often does things by means.
In fact, pick up where you left off there. We don't want to forget means because it's a very important aspect of genuine, authentic, historic Calvinism. And if anybody has a question for Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We will be right back after these messages. Please be patient. This is the longer than normal break because it's in the middle of the show. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Pete Hegseth, co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend. Now, I don't have to tell you, but American education, it's in a free fall, crumbling under the weight of a century of damage inflicted upon America's academic system. The answer? It's called classical Christian education, a form of K through 12 ed that's very distinct from the type of education most Americans have received, myself included. And that's why I'm so excited to have been invited by my friends at Long Island's Grace Christian Academy to talk about this wonderful growing movement and new approach rediscovered to education. It's at 7 p.m. October 15th at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Melville, New York. I'll also be signing copies of my New York Times best-selling book, Battle for the American Mind, for the first 50 guests, starting at 6 p.m. Now, this is a fundraising event designed to raise money to help grow this type of education at a time when it is so desperately needed. So please come ready to give and to learn about a way to stimulate academic revival in our great country. You can purchase tickets for the event by visiting GCALI.com and following the link to the gala event. I hope to see you there.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundsen, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundsen, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvino, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And never forget, folks, make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs, especially with Christmas coming up. That's solid-ground-books.com. Purchase generously, purchase frequently, and always let them know that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Dr. Joe Moorcraft on our theme, If God's in Control, Why Should We Vote?, just have a few very important announcements. Folks, we are in urgent need of your financial help. After the COVID crisis, we were already, before the COVID crisis, having some difficulties with donations. And now, since the COVID pandemic, or so-called, and the tyrannical leftist overreaches of our governments that have shut down businesses and gotten people fired or had their wages lowered, or it could be a multitude of other things, but the giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has been radically reduced to a frighteningly low level. And I'm asking you, please, if you can help us, please help us. If you love the show, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you prefer snail mail, mailing in a physical check to a physical address, then when you click support at ionchirpandzionradio.com, a physical address will appear on your screen where you can mail those checks made payable to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Remember, please never give your own church where you are a member less money than you normally give them in order to bless us with a financial gift. Please don't do that. Also, if you're really struggling to survive, wait till you are back on your feet and more stable financially before you give us a financial gift. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for church and family, providing for our Iron Trip and Zion radio program is obviously not a command of God. But if you do love the show, you don't want it to disappear, and you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money for recreational, trivial purposes, well, please use some of that money to help us if you love the show and don't want it to disappear. We really need your help. Go to ionchirpandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically solid, theologically sound, doctrinally faithful church, like Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, for instance, wherever you live in the world, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of faithful churches, and I may even be able to find a church for you no matter where on the planet Earth you live, as I have already done with many people all over the world in our Iron Sharp and Zion Radio listening audience. So if you are in that predicament of not having a Christ-honoring church where you live or not being aware of one, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. I'll do whatever I can to do to help you find a church. And that's also the email address to send in a question to Dr. Joseph C. Markgraf III. That is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And Dr. Markgraf, before the break, you were about to enter into a very important aspect of historic Reformed theology that actually separates hyper-Calvinists from historically true, authentic Calvinists, biblically faithful Calvinists. It's the issue of means, the fact that God uses means. And in fact, there are still many hyper-Calvinists in the primitive Baptist denomination or association or affiliation. And I have to be careful. They're not all that way. I don't want a broad brush. But there are quite a number of hyper-Calvinists in the primitive Baptist group who actually use the phrase means doctrine as a pejorative. That is, to them, a heresy, an aberrant teaching that God uses means because, in their opinion, it makes God out to be an Arminian. So if you could pick up where you left off, and we will take it from there.
Well, God often uses means or instruments to accomplish his eternal purposes. He's not limited to those means, but he has foreordained certain means by which he will accomplish foreordained purposes. For instance, God has a people he's going to save. Jesus came to earth to save the chosen people of God. The means by which God saves them is the faithful preaching of the Word of God. So that as the gospel is preached, as the offers of the gospel are made, as the demands of the gospel are made, God uses those things as instruments to bring his people into the fold. Or prayer. God has chosen that sometimes he will give us things only if we ask him. James said, you have not because you ask not. So that God has foreordained that there are some things he's not going to do for us unless we ask him to do it. And then thirdly, that's where you put voting into the picture. That God has instituted voting as a means by which he will preserve his faithful people from tyranny and protect their freedoms as a free people. The only problem is that most Christians don't know what tyranny is. No Democrat knows what tyranny is. Most Republicans don't know what tyranny is. And a big percentage of evangelicals don't know what tyranny is. And that's why that instrument that God has put in place is being misused and abused, is because we're ignorant as to tyranny. Now, when the average Christian thinks about tyranny, he thinks about Joseph Stalin or Adolf Hitler. But the Bible gives another definition of tyranny. There's Romans 13 and Revelation 13. In Romans 13, it says that the civil magistrate is to be a minister unto you for good. But in Revelation 13, it says that the civil magistrate is a threat, a murderous threat to you and your family. Now, how did this instrument of civil magistrate come to be an enemy to your family when it was supposed to be a protector of your family? Because it became tyrannical. And a tyrant, according to Revelation 13, is a civil magistrate that imposes upon the people a law to live by other than the law of God contained in Holy Scripture. That's a tyrant. When a tyrant bases its laws, a civil magistrate, when it bases its laws and political opinion upon the opinion of men, upon any other standard than the standard of God's law contained in Holy Scripture, and forces that standard upon its people to make them live by that standard or suffer the consequences, that civil magistrate is a tyrant. That means that a tyrant can be somebody like Joe Biden. It can be somebody like Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He doesn't have to be mean and grit his teeth at you. He just makes you live by a law of his own making or suffer the consequences. That means that most of the members of the Congress of the United States are tyrants. The laws they pass represent a law that's contrary to the law of God contained in Holy Scripture, and then they can use the force of a gun and police force to make you live by those laws, even though they're not the law of God at all. So as long as Christians don't understand what a tyrant is, they're going to keep voting for tyrants. Somebody that looks good on television, somebody that talks a good game, somebody that makes promises, but he doesn't obey and enforce the law of God, is always going to ruin the freedom of those Christians. And that which was intended by God to be a means to protect godly people becomes an instrument of evil in the hands of ignorant or stupid Christians. People today, a lot of Christians are talking about how God's word applies to every area of life. The problem is that most Christians, when they get, I'm not talking about liberals, I'm talking about evangelicals, some of whom are reformed, that those who talk about a comprehensive worldview, nevertheless, when they go in the voting booth, leave the Bible on the outside. They don't know what the Bible says about voting. They don't know what the Bible says about political candidates. And so they go into the voting booth and they vote for those that make the most promises or those that are of the party that they're a part of. Or they go into the voting booth and vote out of fear. I don't vote for this guy even though I don't like him. The other guy's going to get elected. And they leave the Bible on the outside. And then we wonder why we're in the mess we're in today. So if the subject is, if God is sovereign, why vote? My answer is, because God is sovereign, it's your duty to vote to protect your family from tyranny. But if you're going to vote for candidates that will impose upon you another law than the law of the Bible, don't vote. I would rather you stayed at home. You say voting is a sacred thing. No, it's not a sacred thing. Voting for godly people is a sacred thing.
Yeah, and in fact, that lends itself, what you just said to our next questioner, listener who has a question. We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who says, do you believe in ever voting for the lesser of two evils? And I'm sorry, you probably have been asked this a million times.
Yeah.
And that, in fact, I remember that vividly coming up. Rarely have I ever remembered during an election season, especially a presidential election season, in my lifetime, where both candidates were pro-abortion. But that did occur with the governor's race in New York when I guess that was in the 1990s when Mario Cuomo was running for governor against George Pataki. George Pataki was the Republican, and they were both pro-abortion. And I remember asking even Reformed pastors that I knew, what should I do about this? These men are both in favor of killing babies. Quite a number of them said, well, you should vote for the lesser of two evils. So at least George Pataki is in favor of the death penalty and other things that we as Christians should stand for. So I would suggest you vote for George Pataki. But what do you think about that?
That is a terrible answer. That's a wicked answer on all kinds of levels. For instance, sometimes you don't really know who's the lesser of the evil. Is a liberal running a greater evil than a liberal that acts like a conservative and runs and in the process destroys the reputation of conservatism? We can't always identify who the lesser evil is. That's the first thing. The second thing is to understand where that phrase originated. The phrase vote for the lesser of the two evils originated in the Weimar Republic of Germany right after World War I. And Germany was in the midst of recovering from the war, but all of these great capitalist German businessmen were growing very frustrated with the Weimar Republic because most of their earnings were going to the Allies. And they wanted to be in a position to make more money. And they were capitalists. And so a young politician comes to them and says, I don't like the Weimar Republic either. And I know you disagree with me on a lot of things. But if you'll vote for me, I'll help you get rid of the Weimar Republic with a new government so that you can make all the money you want to make. And so these powerful capitalists decided to vote for the lesser of the two evils, whose name was Adolf Hitler. And so it was the capitalists that voted Hitler into office because they wanted him. They believed he was the lesser of the two evils.
Interesting, because Hitler was not a capitalist himself.
Right, he was a socialist. So here's the way I vote. If there's only two candidates, and they both believe in abortion, I will not vote for either one of them. If they believe that if the Democrat believes in killing a lot of babies and the Republican believes in only killing a few babies, I don't believe in killing any babies. So I'm not going to vote for somebody who would endorse murder. And it's a wicked thing to vote for a political candidate who would say, I only believe in killing a few babies. So a Christian's got to be courageous. You say, people say, well, that means are there some elections where you don't vote? Yeah, there's plenty of times when I don't vote. It's not because I don't like voting. It's because I'm not voting for evil men. And So Christians must evaluate who's running according to the standard of the Word of God and vote for the person that is closest to that standard. Now, there's no such thing as a perfect candidate. I know that. If a candidate believes in homosexual marriages, I'm not going to vote for him. I'm not going to vote for the legalization of perversion. That's the way Christians have to think, but then they vote out of fear. They say, well, if you don't vote for the Republican, then the Democrats are going to get elected. When you vote out of fear, you start making mistakes. When you become fear-driven, you eventually are chased off the battlefield.
And I'm sure you would agree that that would go hand in hand with voting out of impatience for change.
Yes, sir. That did the same thing.
Because you have people who are conservative, they may be a Republican, who are so determined to see Republicans keep winning elections that they would rather see a pro-murder, meaning pro-child murder candidate, pro-homosexual candidate, win an election to keep the Republicans in office. And what they are doing is they're actually creating a blueprint for victory for future candidates who will say, wow, we won the last elections by being in favor of child murder and homosexual marriage. We should keep this up.
And yes, sir, I do not understand how reformed men can say things like that. I mean, God is in control. Therefore, vote in a way that pleases him. He's the sovereign to whom you're accountable. You better be more afraid of him than a Democrat.
Amen. And let's see, we have Dan in Indiana, Pennsylvania. A first-time questioner who says, Dr. Moorcraft has influenced my worldview more than anyone. I am very thankful for his books and sermons. My question is, when are you coming up to Pennsylvania to do a pastor's luncheon? And thank you, Chris, for having the luncheons. They are a real blessing. Well, I did ask Dr. Moorcraft, and because of his difficulty in being mobile, he has given me a maybe as an answer. I'm hoping that with the reassurance that somebody will push you around in the wheelchair, no matter where you need to go, and provide transportation, that you will eventually take me up on my invitation.
Well, I would love to do it. Walking becomes harder and harder for me. But that was an encouraging question the listener said. I appreciate that.
And by the way, Dan, since you're a first-time questioner, send me your full mailing address in Indiana, Pennsylvania, because you have won a free New American Standard Bible. Whenever we have first-time questioners, send in a question. They win a free NASB, compliments of the publishers of the New American Standard Bible, and also compliments of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, who always ship out the books and Bibles that our winners get for submitting questions. So thanks a lot, Dan.
One thing I forgot to say is where God has established voting. How do we know God has established voting as a means of protecting his people? Samuel Rutherford was a great Scottish Presbyterian preacher in the 17th century. And he wrote one of the most important books ever written. It's hard to read. It's called Lex Rex, The Law is King. And it was written directly to refute the king's view of Rex Lex, the king is law. He believed that kings and everybody else were accountable to the law of God. And he said something, and the kings hated this book so much, that the King of England had all the first edition burned. So if you can find a first edition of Lex Rex, you got a treasure. And one of the things particularly that the kings of England hated in that book was when Samuel Rutherford said in so many words, if God's going to bless England and Scotland, we've got to be able to elect our own kings like they did in Israel in the Old Testament. Now, I have had people today shocked at the last part of that statement. They didn't realize that the kings of Israel were elected. That the only time the kings of Israel were not elected is when they were puppets imposed on some great tyrannical country. But the king of England got in office by being called of God, anointed by the prophet, and chosen by the people. And as a political institution, Israel is a model for political institutions ever since. There's a great book on that subject, though we're going astray a little. There's a great book on that subject called The Hebrew Republic by a man named Wines, W-I-N-E-S, that shows how the great political principles of Old Testament Israel influenced the writing of the United States Constitution.
Wow, I got to look that up. We have an anonymous listener who says, I am remaining anonymous because I am at odds with most of the people in my own church over my political views. I happen to be a pro-life libertarian, and I have noticed, although I am not personally a theonomist, not yet anyway, I have noticed that many theonomists are also libertarians, in spite of the apparent contradiction in those two things. I was wondering what your guest, Joe Moorcraft, thinks of libertarianism, and of course I am not speaking of those libertarians who are leftward-leaning in regard to social values and morals, who are pro-abortion and pro-homosexual marriage and other things such as that that are an abomination. I'm speaking here of right-leaning libertarianism and Christian libertarianism.
That's a good question. I don't call myself a libertarian. I have a lot of friends who do, who are theonomists. And what they mean by that is that even the government, limited civil government. And so insofar as a libertarian believes that a civil magistrate's power stops with the Constitution, and that he has no power beyond the Constitution, and is socially conservative with reference to abortion and homosexuality, I have no argument with them at all. To keep from confusing people, I just don't use the term with reference to myself.
But you do see value in at least what a lot of those who use that title believe.
One of my heroes is Ron Paul.
Right.
Ron Paul calls himself a libertarian.
That's right.
And he's a devout Christian. He's not a Calvinist, but he's a devout Christian. And I had the privilege years ago of driving him around from place to place after I ran for the U.S. Congress, driving him around from place to place to meet people. He's a great man, and I think I voted for him once, actually.
And we also, going back to a part of our subtitle of the theme today, we have to be reminded that it's not just theologically reformed Christians who may be using God's control over things as an excuse not to vote, even when there's at least one viable candidate that may not perfectly match what they want to see in an elected official. Arminians can behave like hyper-Calvinists, not only in the area of voting, but even in the area of evangelism. There are many Arminians who behave like hyper-Calvinists, and some of it may be not for theological reasons, but just because of fear of men. They don't want to evangelize people openly who are in serious conflict with their worldview and their religion because they fear the repercussions of it, or they're just embarrassed. They're ashamed of the gospel. But whatever the case may be, we have to make sure that we don't give the wrong idea that only Reformed people are abusing this idea and not doing what they what duty commands them to do. Are you still there, Brother Joe? Because I heard you breaking up. I guess we're going to have to go to a break right now because Brother Moorcraft, I heard his voice really breaking up badly, and I don't know what was going on there. So I am going to disconnect with him, and hopefully when we come back after our final break, hopefully Dr. Moorcraft will be available, and I hope that his phone did not either die or something else. But anyway, we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Pete Hegseth, co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend. Now, I don't have to tell you, but American education, it's in a free fall, crumbling under the weight of a century of damage inflicted upon America's academic system. The answer? It's called classical Christian education, a form of K-12 ed that's very distinct from the type of education most Americans have received, myself included. And that's why I'm so excited to have been invited by my friends at Long Island's Grace Christian Academy to talk about this wonderful growing movement and new approach rediscovered to education. It's at 7 p.m. October 15th at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Melville, New York. I'll also be signing copies of my New York Times bestselling book, Battle for the American Mind, for the first 50 guests starting at 6 p.m. Now, this is a fundraising event designed to raise money to help grow this type of education at a time when it is so desperately needed. So please come ready to give and to learn about a way to stimulate academic revival in our great country. You can purchase tickets for the event by visiting gcali.com and following the link to the gala event. I hope to see you there.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvinio, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest in buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, royaldiadem.com is giving 100% of the profits from any sale of $100 or more when you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making a purchase. If you're just buying something that they have in stock, or if you're having a custom designed engagement ring made, or turning your church or parachurch ministry logo into a piece of jewelry like a ring or a necklace pendant, they will give us 100% of the profits for a limited time only. So make sure you mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's royaldiadem.com. We are now back with our guest, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. And how is the sound connection now, Dr. Moorcraft?
Yeah, my other phone died.
I figured that was happening. It's a more complicated issue than people might think, because even you believe that if you are going to violate your conscience before God and vote for somebody that you think is an enemy of Christ, is a liar, is a believer in child murder and sodomy, believe that that would be a lesser of two evils voting, which you are opposed to. So this is not just a clear-cut issue of every Christian having a duty to vote at any time and under all circumstances.
He has the duty to vote biblically. He does not have the duty to vote no matter what. He may not vote for evil men. Can you imagine the Israelites voting for Philistines? He may not vote for people whom he believes are going to lead his country further away from God. I mean, that's the terrible thing. We almost make an idol out of voting. And it's not wrong not to vote if there's nobody that you can vote for in a clear conscience. And make sure your conscience is governed by the Word of God. So it is complicated. For instance, let's say there's somebody that's running for office, forget the Democrats. I've come to the point, and this is pretty radical. I've come to the point that I think it's sinful to vote for Democrats, that it's sinful to be a Democrat. But I think that we must be so careful in honoring God in our voting. There is a great book written in the 1700s, 1800s called Messiah the Prince, written by a Scottish Presbyterian. I can't think of his name right off. But there's a chapter on there on voting according to the Bible. There's very little written on the subject because we're afraid to vote principally if it means our man losing. That's why a lot of people haven't been part of third parties. They said, well, if we create a third political party, what voice do we have in the Republican Party? Well, I'll give you an example. In the late 20th century, there was a political party in New York called the Conservative Party of New York. And it was not large enough to elect candidates, but it was large enough that the Democrats and the Republicans both had to court the Conservative Party, or else they wouldn't win. And moreover, during the 60s, the Conservative Party of New York did elect a conservative to the United States Senate, William Buckley's brother. So don't be afraid of third parties. Don't let people intimidate you if there's nobody that you can vote for that it would be dishonoring to God, for instance. And don't be afraid to confront these guys. Don't be afraid to hold their feet to the fire, particularly if they profess to be Christians and profess to be conservatives. Ask them questions. If they blaspheme in a speech, rebuke them for blaspheming. And say, if you continue to blaspheme Almighty God, you don't have my vote anymore. I mean, that's the way we got to talk. There was a young man running for United States Congress, and he took me out to eat because he wanted my influence. He thought I was more influential in the Republican Party than I really was, because I had run for Congress in that party, but my influence had waned. So anyway, he took me out to eat, and I asked him a bunch of political questions. And then I said, sir, I got one more question before we go. When you get elected and you stand in the United States House of Representatives, how are you going to represent the crown rights of King Jesus? He said, well, I've never been asked that question before. I said, I figure you hadn't. So let me take the next hour to explain to you what I mean. Conservatives have to bear in mind what our goal is. In fact, I don't call myself a conservative. I call myself a Trinitarian. And we've got to make sure as Christians, what is the goal that we want in politics? What are we working for when we get involved in politics and try to straighten out things in America? Most people don't even know what the goal is. They think, well, if we can get an amendment to the Constitution outlawing abortion, if we can get a conservative president, we've reached our goals. And that's not the case at all. Here's the goal. If you call yourself a Christian in the political arena, here is the goal that you must have if you're going to continue to call yourself Christian politically. Work for the day when the United States of America and your state will declare that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that no law shall be passed in this republic contrary to the revealed will of God found in Holy Scripture. That's your goal as a Christian. If that's not your goal as a Christian in the political arena, you might as well leave the arena.
Well, we're out of time, brother, and the time did fly by quickly, especially since we only had 90 minutes after gubernatorial candidate Doug Mastriano filled the first half hour. So I want to make sure that our listeners have your contact information. The Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia may be found at heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. And if you could also plug your book again on the subject of politics and where our listeners can get it.
With Liberty and Justice for All, Christian Politics Made Simple. It's a short little paperback, and you can get it from comprehensivechristianity.com.
Great. That's comprehensivechristianity.com. Also, folks, don't forget, I want you to join me if you are capable of getting to Long Island, New York this Saturday. I want you to join me at the Marriott in Melville, Long Island, for the Grace Christian Academy fundraising gala featuring Pete Hegseth of Fox News, a fine Christian gentleman who is on staff there, one of the very few actual regenerate believers there. And I'm thrilled that he's the keynote speaker for this fundraising banquet where I am going to be the master of ceremonies. I'm very honored that they asked me to do that. So I hope that you join me this Saturday, October 15th, 7 p.m. at the Marriott in Melville, Long Island. And to register, it's free registration, go to Grace Christian Academy of Long Island's website, which is GCALI, gcali, G-C-A-L-I, which stands for Grace Christian Academy, Long Island, .com. That's gracechristianacademy.com. And please, if you go, make sure that you approach me at some point, say hello to me, and tell me that you heard about the event on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I want to thank you again, Dr. Moorcraft, for always being such a superb guest. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.